Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Paying people a no-strings-attached universal basic income is an idea that's been around for a while. A lot of discussion about it, particularly in Australia, in light of the revelation, the understanding that the Henderson poverty line set more than 40 years ago no longer can be said to apply to government payments for people who need those payments. People on government payments in Australia are often below the poverty line set by Henderson all that time ago, and the economic circumstances are quite different in this country now. Government policy, even sometimes working against the interests of the poor in disincentivizing them in ways that makes it even harder for them to rise above the poverty line itself. So the universal basic income discussion is something that's increasingly discussed as a public policy option. People say it could be the answer to wage stagnation, income inequality, and part-time jobs taking over from full-time jobs as the economy changes to what's known as a gig economy. This would be a payment given unconditionally to every adult, not subject to any means test or work test. Sounds fairly attractive, and you can understand why certain people think that it's a great idea. But indeed, would it be affordable? How would those people working pay for such a system? And that was the question that the Crawford School of Public Policy took on during the week when they held a forum to discuss universal basic income. How would the universal basic income work? I asked Dr. David Ingalls, Senior Research Fellow at the Crawford School's Tax and Transfer Institute.
Well, basically, you've got the existing categorical system where we put you in a box, a category, and say you're either eligible to be in that box and get a payment or you're not. And the basic income in its pure sort of format would do away with those boxes and say, all right, we're going to give you all a certain rate of payment. And then to finance that, we're going to tax all your other income at a certain rate, which could be a flat rate for everybody. So sometimes these ideas are called a basic income flat tax. Now, the only problem with those ideas is if the basic payment is to be adequate to live on, the flat tax rate has to be extremely high. And when Professor Henderson looked at this in 1975 for the poverty inquiry, he found that the basic income flat tax idea would cost 50% of everybody's earnings to pay for it. And so he modified his proposal to what's called a categorical basic income. Now, the categorical one would have higher payments for people who are in existing categories, such as the aged, sole parents, the unemployed, and so on. And he managed to get the required tax rate down to 40%. But people have done a lot of work looking at this proposal since then, and they now think that the required tax rate for the basic proposal is over 60%, and even for the categorical proposal is over 40%. So it gets very, very hard to do these things. But the initiative we took was to say, all right, let's suppose we think about a completely different tax base. Mm-hmm. And the tax base we've looked at is net worth or wealth. And how you compute that is you add up all the assets people have, including in their home, in their superannuation, and so on. You deduct from that all the money they owe, such as their mortgage. And you say, all right, your net worth is, say, $1 million. We might apply a tax on that at 1.5%. So that would be $15,000 a year. And then that would offset the amount of money you receive from the government by way of the basic income.
Well, and that sounds superficially attractive if you use those numbers, but when you model it out, what does it look like in practice?
Well, what we find is we looked at four options. The first option is a very simple one, which is based on the income tax itself.
Yeah.
And we just abolished the free area before you. At the moment, you can
earn the tax-free threshold. Yeah.
Yeah. Before you can earn almost $20,000 before you start paying tax. Mm. So we said, all right, we'll pay everybody $5,500 a year, and we'll fill in the tax-free threshold, and that would cost around about 32 cents in the dollar in terms of the initial tax rate. So it's feasible, but it's a big change. And you'd find you'd have a break-even level of income around about $17,000 a year. Everyone earning less than $17,000 taxable income would be better off, and people earning above that would be slightly worse off.
In that system where the government is providing a flat level of support for everybody to make sure that no one falls through a poverty gap, and that's the idea, in that system, how do you guard against people for whom that's just a disincentive to go out and work? I mean, those people who are genuinely capable but just don't.
Well, you can't really. It's intrinsic in the proposal that some people would be disincentivised. And you can't really have a basic income without accepting that there is going to be some sort of trade-off in terms of people's work incentives. Anyway, we tried to modify that by saying, all right, let's throw this annual wealth tax in the mix. And that allowed us to finance a slightly higher basic income. It allowed us to top up some existing allowees like New Start Allowance and pension. And we could come out with a flat tax rate for the first $20,000 of income of just over 19 cents. So the wealth tax makes a big difference to the feasibility of the proposal. But it will make a lot of people worse off. But on the other hand, if you make people worse off, you can actually incentivise them because they need to go and earn extra money. So in a way, option two has got better work incentives than option one, even though it's very similar.
And was there an option three?
Option three was a full-blown two-tier basic income along the lines that Professor Henderson recommended. Mm. And when we looked at that, we also used the 1.5% annual wealth tax, and we found that you could come out with a flat tax rate of around about 30 cents in the dollar.
Which is where we're at now. Well, that's the lowest rate.
Yeah, but you've got to remember you face that from the first dollar of private income, so you don't get the benefit of the existing tax-free area.
Gosh. Go on.
And the fourth option we looked at is one where we eliminated the categories. We topped up everyone's payment by around about the rate of the basic income itself, which was around about $7,000. So all existing pensioners and allowees get an extra $7,000 a year, but they do face the annual wealth tax. And we found that the required tax rate under that came out to be around about 38%. And so it's sort of doable, but it's hard to imagine ever getting the political support to go down that's so far in that direction.
Yes, because it is
quite a draconian annual wealth tax. It's 2% in that model. And it's quite a high tax rate on everybody's income of nearly 40%. So people who advocate basic income, in a way we're not advocating a particular scheme at all. We're just trying to get people to understand what they're advocating when they talk about basic income and to understand some of the trade-offs that are involved if you want to go down that track.
Well, a pretty sobering look at what would be a major social reform, but with quite substantial political and economic consequences. I thank you very much for doing the work, and thanks for speaking with us.
No problem at all. Thank you.
Dr. David Ingalls from Australian National University, the Crawford School of Public Policy, an expert in tax. And there's your answer if someone says to you, there's this idea from overseas about the universal basic income, could be good, check it out. You can say, well, I heard on Open House that when they checked it out, it didn't check out. Because basically, many more people would be paying much more. Well, it still doesn't overcome the inequality in our society, but we've got to find a different way than that by the sound of it, because that's not politically saleable.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.